I don't believe in evolution. And the reason why I don't believe in evolution is that if evolution was real, we would all look like knots. Because in ropes and cords like this, nobody has to tie them into a knot. They just tie themselves. Amen. Have you ever noticed that? And about every three or four times I grab this microphone, the cord's in a knot. Now, unless Brady's doing that behind my back, they tie themselves in knots. That's the only thing that I could see nature doing by itself, is tying a knot. And so if we evolved and nature made us, we would all be tied in knots. Okay? Anyway, I don't believe in evolution because the Bible says different. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen. If you have a Bible, who's got a Bible this morning? Raise it up. Good deal. You're going to need it. Take your Bible. First place to go to is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I was studying and thinking about the message for today. And I don't think I'm done with the issue of Hezekiah. I don't think I'm done there, but I was reading that passage yesterday, and something caught my eye, and I thought, well, I need to go back in the Bible and kind of study this out and kind of see what the context is and so on. And when I was reading the previous chapter, I hit upon a verse, and when I read this verse, God said, stop right here. And I did. And I read that verse. So it's 2 Samuel 12. No, it's 2 Kings 17. And I read that over and over again. And it just, boy, I mean, God just dealt with me about that statement. And I'll tell you what it is here in a little bit. And I just kind of was thinking about that and meditating on it, praying about it, and put the message together last night and prayed about it. And I want to say a couple things before I start preaching. Number one, I don't have anybody in mind preaching this message. I mean, I really don't. Other than myself, I always try to ask myself while I'm preaching or what I'm going to preach it about, Mike, how does this apply to you? And is this for you or whatever? Usually it is. And so I don't have anybody in mind, certainly from this church, certainly not over the internet. I don't have anybody in mind in preaching this. And I'll say this, as your pastor, even if I did, and you might think sometimes that I was preaching right at you, there's a chance you might be right. Because it's my job to awaken you to things that are in your life from the Word of God. If I know about it or I see it, I have to preach it whether you're sitting here or not. Okay, I have to do it. And I'm telling you, it's not today. The second thing that I want to tell you, and I just want you to think about it, is that I was going to have you raise your right hand and swear an oath that you were not going to use this message as a weapon against anybody but yourself this morning, all right? I won't have you do that, but I just want you to consider that, all right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Are you there? Say amen. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Between thee and him alone. That's first. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. This is God giving an order here. Let all things be done decently in order. And here is the order for which God is laying this out. It concerns a brother who has been overtaken in a fault. The book of Galatians sort of gives this same message. Brethren, if one of thee be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering thyself also. And so the first thing that happens if a brother trespasses against you, is for you to go to him privately, between you and he, and work it out with the intent of restoration and forgiveness. Now, if somebody's done something to you and you go to somebody with the intent of just chewing them out and laying it out to them, just so you can give them your 2 cents worth, don't waste your time. Don't do it. But if you truly go to somebody with the attitude, this is wrong, I know it was wrong, and I come to you because I want to pray with you. If you go to somebody, God will bless that. God will bless that. But then he said, if that doesn't work, take 2 or 3 people with you and sit down and say, look, this is getting serious now, and I had to bring some other people in on it. And as far as I'm concerned, only this little group knows what's going on. And if you'll repent, then this is as far as it goes right here. Doesn't go anywhere else. It's nobody else's business. Nobody else's concern. We don't have to advertise it. We don't have to bring it before the church. This is just us right here. And hope they repent. But then he says, verse 17, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. In other words, walk away. Walk away. Now, take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And you'll understand here in a minute where I'm going, all right? And what I want you to do is, I'll be honest with you, God said, Mike, preach this tomorrow. He would not let me get away from that one verse I was actually looking for something else. And again, this is not intended, to my knowledge, toward anybody that I know of here. So I'm not actually breaking the commandment here that Jesus, if there was an issue between you and I, I'm either going to forget about it or I'm going to sit down with you. I'm more likely to just forget about it and forgive you and let it be over with. But if it's serious enough, I'll come to you. So I want you to understand something, that if you're sitting here today and this message is applicable to you, I want you to consider the fact that the Holy Ghost is coming to you today privately to deal with you about something that only you and God know about. Okay? Consider this as the Holy Ghost, your friend, your brother, Jesus, coming to you privately and alone. When Jesus met with Nicodemus, how was it? It was at night, it was private. Nicodemus, I want to talk to you about something. I want to tell you how to have eternal life. Wasn't trying to embarrass Nicodemus, wasn't trying to make a public spectacle out of him. He just wanted to deal with him. And I want you to understand the Holy Ghost, if this message is for you today, consider that that Jesus himself is coming to you, putting his arm around you and saying, hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. Okay? So in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I want you to notice and take note of verse 2. And I want you to listen now to what God's saying to you. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The word of God cannot be broken. It cannot be wrong. It cannot be broken. And I'm going to be preaching this morning and just, I guess, teaching maybe on secret sins. Secret sins. And if there's something in your life today, again, I don't know. But if there's something in your life today, and now that you know where I'm going, you and God know exactly what's being talked about today. I don't. Not with you. And so already now the Holy Ghost, Jesus himself, got his arm around you. And he's just kind of patting your back and Just think about Jesus now, come to you as your friend and your brother. I mean, he's a really good friend. He is the best friend you have ever had in your life, and he'll never leave you. I used to pray for years, God, I wish I had a good, close, personal friend, somebody that was around me all the time that, you know, I could just tell everything to, and God said, what about me? I said, well, God, yeah, you'll do, I guess. And God has been my very, very good friend, and he's done this to me. God has came to me numerous times, put his arm around me and said, Mike, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Some things are going on that ain't right. I've had other people, I've had friends come to me privately and sit down with me and say, Mike, I want to ask you about something. And God has always blessed in that situation. He has always blessed in that situation. I could ask you this morning, how many of you want to go to heaven? I'm pretty sure I'd get hands from everybody if you want to go to heaven. Okay? This is as serious as heaven and hell. This is how God deals with secret sin. How God deals with secret sin. And the Bible's clear. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing. Neither hid that shall not be known. And so you have a secret sin. And I'm going to be dead honest with you. I have a list that I made part of this list last night, and I prayed about it. And God had me write some more things down. I've got a list here of things that would be considered as secret sins. I'll get to the list in a minute. But you've got a secret sin. You're hiding it from everybody. And you think you're getting away with it. And God's telling you, right off, you won't get away with it. If you try to cover it yourself, I'm going to uncover it. First, I'm going to uncover it to you so that you will know that I know about it. Secondly, if you won't repent, God says, I'll bring some other people in on it. Now more than just you and I know about it. And some other people know about it now. And you ought to repent. And if that won't work, then I'll expose you in front of everybody for who you really are. Because they think you're just sitting in church and being Mr. Nice Guy, and you dress nice and you pay tithes and do all that stuff you're supposed to do on the outside. And everybody thinks you're Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful. And God says, I'm going to expose you for who you are. That's God. God follows his own word, by the way. And he will try to restore you. But if you won't let him, he'll expose you. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. The Bible says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And everybody knows this one. And be sure your sin will find you out. How many of you ever heard that verse before? Y'all know the verse. But when we have secret sins, we forget about all those verses. The devil, I guess, hides them from us, or just we're not reminded of them, or we just don't think about it. And we think that we can do things and nobody has to know about it, and it's all private and it's all secret, and we're going to get away with it. But God knows about it. Remember, we serve a God that does not need video cameras everywhere on every street corner and in every store. We serve a God that doesn't have the National Security Administration, the NSA, spying on every email and every cell phone call. And by the way, databasing all of your internet records. That happens. We have a God that doesn't need all the technology of today to spy on everybody. We have a God who automatically knows. In fact, we had a God that saw it conceived in your heart before it ever became reality. And you cannot hide it from God. Adam and Eve, the very first thing they did, they tried to cover up their sins and make it secret by hiding their private parts. They made aprons out of fig leaves, like Tarzan. And they clothed their own, they tried to hide and cover their own sin, and God saw it. God knew about it. And God knows yours. I don't. I don't need to know yours. You don't need to know mine. This is not a church service where I'm going to parade everybody up and make you confess everything to everybody. That is totally unnecessary so far. But upon being given the opportunity today to confess secret sins to God alone, and you're given that opportunity and you don't take it, I promise you this Bible cannot be broken, and God will bring somebody else in on it. Somebody will find out about it. You can't hide it forever. Let me show you the verse that I happened upon. 2 Kings chapter 17. Turn there. 2 Kings chapter 17. I don't expect a lot of amens out of this message. I'm not going to say somebody say amen. I'm not going to do that today, I don't think. It's kind of a habit with me, and it's hard to break habits, but this is not one where I'm going to sit and wait for you to respond. Okay? I'm just going to show you the scripture, and I'm going to let God deal with your heart. 2 Kings chapter 17. This is what actually led me into this. I was in 2 Kings 18. We see that that Hezekiah, my fingers are cold and dry this morning, hard to turn pages, that Hezekiah had rebelled against the king of Assyria, I think it was. Yeah, in verse 7, he rebelled against the king of Syria. And I wanted to know kind of what that was all about, so I went backwards and was just studying the previous chapters to kind of get the context of what that was all about. And then I ran into verse 9 of 2 Kings 17. The children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And I want you to notice, the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord. Can I tell you? I want to tell you what's going on here. These are the 10 northern tribes, the children of Israel. And because of their secret sins, God sent Assyria down to them, held them in bondage for 3 years, and practically starved them out. During this time, the Israelites were so morally bankrupt and so hungry and so far away from God that during this siege, they actually began to eat their own children to feed themselves. And God told them that that would happen when they broke His covenant and walked away from what God had told them to do. And this is what they're doing. And then, because of their secret sins, God was fed up with it. And He went in and He allowed the Assyrians to come and take all of the 10 tribes captive and took them out of their land. A monumental thing. To this day, those 10 tribes are still scattered to the four corners of the earth. God allowed Judah to come back after 70 years, but the 10 northern tribes, they did not get to come back. That's how angry God was. And it was all because of their secret sins. Things that they were hiding from one another, things they were hiding from God. And this is the truth of it. When you have secret sins and you hide them from God, that means you won't repent of them. And the reason why you're not repenting of them is because you don't want to quit doing them. That's dangerous. It's very dangerous. I understand that everybody here has a propensity to sin. We have a sorry, rotten, wicked flesh. It'll do things that are wrong every now and then. Repent of it. Give it to God. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and says, I need to talk to you about something, you don't even have to let Him finish it. God, I know. God, I'm sorry. And as far as God's concerned, it's over and done with. But I am talking about secret lifestyles, unconfessed sins, things that you don't want people in your family to find out about, Parents, husbands, you don't want your wives to find out about it. Wives, you don't want your husband to find out about it. You don't want your children to know. Children, young people, listen to me. There are things that you do not want your mom and dad to find out about. God knows about them. I had a young boy in our school when we had a school. In fact, he was one of the first students that started here in school, and he graduated. And now he's a Festus police officer. We got to talking in class one day, and he inadvertently, Mark, told me where his secret hiding place was in his room. And my wife worked with his mom, so we knew each other. And as soon as he let that out, his face, all the blood drained out of his face. He turned white as a sheet going. He came to me later, please don't tell my mom. It's all right, God knows about it. I imagine as soon as he got home that day, he found a new secret hiding place. By the way, it's pretty smart. They lived in a house and they had one of those air returns up on the wall. He had, I don't know what it was, he had it hid down on a string on that air return, in that air return. Dads, moms, just send you home, take a look, all right? Because some kid's going, yeah, that is a good place. Mom and dad already knows about it, all right? Young people, the sinful things that you hide from mom and dad now will become the chains and handcuffs of your adulthood. You'll never be able to break them. Who in here started smoking when they were 11, 12, 13 years old? Wish you'd never done it. Who drank their first bit of alcohol at a young age? The things, the secret sins, young people, that you're keeping from your mom and dad will be the chains of your adulthood. And every adult in this room knows it. Be sure your sin will find you out. God was so angry with the Israelites over their secret sin that he took them into captivity and he said, you don't deserve this land. This land's not for you. I warned you. I came to you. I came to you privately. You wouldn't do anything about it. I sent prophets. You know what prophets are? This is the prophets right here. God said, I sent prophets to you. They preached sermons to you. They warned you. You wouldn't listen. I sent them one after another. I chastened you. You wouldn't listen. Now I'm going to expose you for who you are. And to this day, their sin's still exposed. It's written, actually written in the scriptures what their sins were. I'm telling you, this is how God deals with secret sins. The thing that you don't want exposed, the thing you want covered up, is exactly what God's going to reveal if you continue in it. He'll expose you. He will show everybody what you're doing. And if you don't repent, he'll throw you out. That's what he did with Israel. This is what Jesus said to do. I'd take it seriously if I were you. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David had a secret sin. David had a secret sin. The first secret sin of David was his rooftop patio chair. Because the Bible says that David was on the roof of his house and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. What that tells me was that David knew to be on the roof at a certain time of the day so he could see a naked woman taking a bath. That was his first secret sin. And David had power and he had a lot of authority. So when David looked at Bathsheba, all he did was send somebody after her. And it was a done deal. So he committed a whoredom with Bathsheba, committed adultery with her. And then Send her home. I'm done with you. Send her home. Turns out she's pregnant, and her husband's been out on the front line of the battlefield fighting David's wars. So David calls for Uriah, her husband, to come in from the battlefield. Uriah comes to see David. David, what do you want? Son, I'm so proud of you. Listen to David's deceiving manner. Son, I'm proud of you. Boy, you're doing a good job. Boy, I really appreciate what you're doing. You see the lies in David? If David can do it, so can you, and you do. And we're pretty good at it. David said, won't you take some time off and go home and be with your wife? That backfired on David. Uriah the Hittite slept on David's porch and would not go home. David said, how come you're not going home? As long as my soldier boys are out on the battlefield, how can I go in and enjoy my wife while they're out there, my brothers? I tell you who should have been king. Uriah the Hittite. David told the captain of his guard, he said, you take Uriah, you put him right out on the front line so he'll get the first arrow. And he did. David murdered Uriah. So then, under the guise of feeling sorry for Bathsheba, so that his sin would not be found out, he has Uriah killed and he brings Bathsheba in and he marries her, makes it official now, because she's carrying his baby. And here's what God did. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Nathan, you know what? You know who Nathan is? He's this. He's your Bible. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And I want to tell you something. The reason why you haven't picked up your Bible in a long time is because you know good and well that as soon as you open it up, Nathan's going to say to you, thou art the man. You know it for a fact. Soon as you open a Bible up, as soon as that Bible's opened up, you know for a fact that God's going to nail you. And you don't want it. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I have delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I moreover would have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You see, God saw it, people. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, here's the consequences. This is what God said. Now therefore, the sword will never depart from thine house. Did you know that the word of God is still in effect to David and his lineage to this day? The sword has never departed from David's house. In the days after his son died, God divided the kingdom, split it up. There was a rebellion. God divided the whole kingdom that David had. He lost everything. And then he said, the sword shall never depart from that house because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. David's own son, Absalom, his own son, tried to have David killed, had David put out of the throne, and his own son, while David was alive, went around, had everybody blow trumpets and say, Absalom is king in Israel. His own son. It was his other own son that had the hots for his sister, Tamar, and raped her. And Absalom ended up killing him. All this happened after David's sin. Then, to top it all off, I want you to look at this. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Do you know what? You know what was counseled of Absalom? They said, Absalom, you want to seal the deal and get David's kingdom? Take his concubines up on the roof of the house and take them in one by one and lay with them in front of everybody. And that's what he did. God was not mocked. God did exactly what he told David he was going to do. And he said, for thou didst it how? Secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is that what you want? Is that what you're waiting on? You're waiting on God to go ahead and expose you and tell everybody in the world who you are and what you've got hiding, what you're trying to cover up, what's a secret you don't want anybody to find out? Is that what you're waiting on? Because it will happen. I mean, we're not the lost world. Lost world, there are people coming out of every imaginable closet all the time. And they're showing themselves to be rotten, decrepit sinners. And this is all around us. We're church people. Is this what you want to happen? I mean, don't we see this enough on the news? Such and such pastor, caught in bed, caught stealing money, caught with this, caught with that. Youth pastor doing this, deacons doing this, affairs in the church everywhere. We see this stuff up on the news. The news never misses an opportunity to go after church people who get caught in sins. Never miss an opportunity. Is that what you want? Is that what you're waiting on? Because it will happen. You mess around with secret sins. You mess around with stuff that you think you're going to get away with. You think because you've hid it well that nobody's ever going to find out. Who do you think you're fooling? You're not fooling God. God will find a way to show everybody who you are and what you do. You will not be able to hide it. Not even David could. He was the king of all Israel. Not even David could hide it. God exposed it. See, he almost got away with it, didn't he? He almost got away with it. He covered it up. So he fixed it to where he could marry Uriah's wife to make it look like it was his baby legitimately. And nobody knew about it except God. And God said, thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and the sun. Let me read some verses here. Turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. While you turn there, let me read my list of things that are secret sins. I'll wait till you get there, so won't you listen to me. And again, nobody came and told on you. I don't have knowledge. God did not say, hey, Mike, guess what Gary's doing? I don't have that. I just started making a list, and I prayed for a while, and I wrote some other things down here. But here's some things that would be secret sins. Things that we hide. We like to hide our liquor. We hide our liquor. How long did Bonnie spend trying to find all your stashes, Roy?
Long time.
Roy always thought he was one step ahead of her. Let me tell you something. If you're a closet liquor drinker, you're not getting away with it. Young people and adults, if you're a closet liquor drinker, you're not going to get away with it. If God loves you, He's going to expose you. He's going to come. In fact, He's coming to you today, right now, and He's putting His arm around you, and He's saying, let's talk. I want to help. But you got to be honest with me. Guys like to hide it in their trucks, in the toolboxes, out in the garage, under the house. Magazine stash. A like to hide their dirty magazines up in the attic, out in the shed, out in the workshop. Those tool carriers in the back of your truck. So how do you know all this, Brother Mike? That's where my dad hid all his. And you've got them hid because you don't want your wife to find them. Let me tell you something. There's a pretty good chance that one of your kids already found out where they are. And there's a pretty good chance that your kid got introduced to pornography because of you. God's already exposed it. Internet downloads. Videos and pictures from the internet. Illegal music software downloads. You think you're getting away with it, and you're not. God knows about it. And one day he's going to pop it open on you. You're not getting away with it. We found this out. The government put in a new rule here a while back that all the internet companies are looking for music, illegal music downloads. They know the package, that they know what that looks like. And we got a letter here at the church. We got a letter here at the church from our internet company saying that somebody downloaded an illegal song over the internet at our church. And it gave the day and the time of it. God's going to find it out. Better let him have it. Texting, internet flirting. You're not having an affair. But you kind of like the looks of that guy or that gal on Facebook or somebody in a chat room. And you're just kind of doing a little flirting back and forth. Texting other women or other men. Saying things that are not quite saying, hey, I want to go to bed with you, but they're close. And God's going to find it out. And God's taking you now and sitting down with you and saying, I want to talk to you. I want to heal you. I want you to listen to me. I want you to confess it and get rid of it. Because if you don't, I'm going to share it with somebody else. Somebody else is going to find out about it. Coveting eyes toward your neighbor. Your neighbor. That's your next door neighbor, your work neighbor. God forbid, listen to me, church. God forbid, but even your church neighbor. Lusting after somebody else in the church. Male or female, young or old. God's going to discuss. He's already found out about it. He already knows about it. God sees everything you do. And he'll come to you. And he's going to say, knock it off. Or I'm going to let somebody catch you doing it. Tools, material, and time that you stole from work. You ever steal tools from work? Took material from work, took a box of pens home, gallon of paint, box of nails. You put down 43 hours on your time card and you only work 39. But then 3 hours that you're going to get paid is time and a half. And boy, that's good money. Boy, that'll come in handy. You're a thief. You say, you know, I can do it and I won't get caught at it. You will too. Just a matter of time. Think about tools that you've got in your house right now that you did not buy from the hardware store. You got them. You stole them from work. Think about it. Embezzling money from work. We know a lady, Lisa and I know a lady, that she always tried to get a job working in the accounting department. Always. And every place she got a job, she stole money from them into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And always denied it, even when they sent her to prison. And they offered her a sweetheart deal because they had her dead to rights, and she had the nerve to ask me, I don't want to plead guilty. What do you think I ought to do? Well, I had already seen too much of what was against her, and I knew she did. And I said, I think if they're handing you a deal, I think you ought to take it. And she took it. And then she got mad at me. But she embezzled into the hundreds of thousands of dollars from every place she worked at. I don't care if it's a penny on the floor. It's not worth your soul. If that money does not belong to you, it does not belong to you. Don't take it. Bribes are gifts for contracts, work contracts. Do we not understand that probably most politicians in this country are dirty? Amen. If not all of them. You know why? They accept bribes and gifts. Either for legislation or for government contracts. You say, well, that's how business is done. I'm saying to you that America will fall because that's how business is done. And if you're a contractor or you work in some kind of business where there's contracts and you take bribe business agents. I watched a business agent get paid off one time at a job we were working at. We were non-union. We were painting. And the business agent came by the painters union and said, I'll bring up a picket here because you're non-union. And I watched the business agent get paid off. You think your business agent's got it all for you because you're in the union? You're crazy. But if you're in a situation that in order to get a contract from somebody, you've got to bribe them or gift them, or the other way around, God will find it out. You're not going to get by with it. Tax evasion. Tax evasion. If you received it as income, pay taxes on it. I don't care what you think about the government, how they waste your money. Did you know that bill, that dollar bill that you got, has the United States of America on it? Guess whose money that is? Belongs to the United States of America. And if you received it as income, you pay taxes on it. You try to cheat on your taxes. You try to cheat on this and cheat on that. Cheat on your assessments. Real estate, try to cheat on that. And you're getting away with it. Just wait. Just wait. Drugs, including prescription drugs. Now, I don't have a problem. If you need the pill, take the pill. If you need the pill, take the pill. I don't have a problem with that. But you and I both know that people all the time now are getting hooked on, not pot. And by the way, if you like pot, won't you move to Colorado?
Yeah.
Get all of it you want. Don't ask me to go there, though. I don't trust them people. But you're hooked on pharmaceuticals, you're hooked on this, you're hooked on that. Rush Limbaugh, you remember him? He got hooked on OxyContin, was having people go out buy it for him in massive amounts. And he got away with it judicially, but he lost his hearing over it. He went deaf because of it. That's what happened. You're not going to get away with it. Secret plans or meetings against someone instead of using biblical methods. I know of a church, a pastor. While I was with him at camp, he told me, I said, how's everything going at your church? He said, well, this is my last week. He said, while I went with my wife and family down to the National Association meeting, the deacons had a meeting on me and voted me out while I was gone. Bunch of cowards. Bunch of cowards, if you ask me. He may not have been a good pastor. You know what? He may not have been. There's a biblical way to handle it. And they were a bunch of cowards as far as I'm concerned. I don't know that this goes on. It would hurt my feelings if I found out it did. But if you've got a question about anything I do here, come ask me. Or better yet, go ask my wife. And if I'm wrong in doing something, I'll admit to it. I promise you I will. I've done it before. Don't have secret meetings behind my back. I don't know that there are. Secret bank accounts and ledgers that you're keeping, hiding. Husbands and wives hiding money from one another. Why? Why are you doing that? Why would you do that? Secret resentments that we have to other people, things we won't let go of. They'll all get found out one of these days. God will expose them, is what he'll do. He'll either come to you and say, listen, you need to repent, or he's just going to expose it. Have I covered enough? Now I'm going to read just a few passages of scripture, and I'm going to give you the three R's. Write these down. Three R's. Okay? Write these down. Number one, reality. You pray for reality. You pray that God will walk through your life and show you what's going on in your life and show you what's wrong. Because you know what happens? You know what we start doing? We start hiding it because we feel guilty that we're doing it. But then we get tired of hiding it. So you know what we start doing after that because we're tired of hiding it? We start justifying it. We start justifying it, and then it no longer is wrong for us to do that. Now it's right for us to do that. Why don't you get real? Open the door. Jesus is knocking. And the truth is, you know why he's there. He's knocking. Why don't you open the door and let him come in, sit down, talk to you, and say, we need to get real here. Let's talk about your secret stuff that you don't want anybody to find out about. I know about them. Let's talk about them. Why don't you just get real? So number one, reality. Number two, repentance. If he comes to you, you recognize it, you repent of it. Don't keep doing it. By the way, you got a secret bank account away from your wife or your husband, and God gets after you for that. Don't keep the and say, God, I'm sorry. Don't keep the bank account. Don't do it. Repentance, number two. Number three, righteousness. Reality, repentance, righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. I want you to listen to this now. You're the wicked. You're the wicked one. You've got secret sins, you got secret ambitions, you got secret ideas, you got Roman eyes towards somebody, or somebody's wife, or somebody's daughter, or somebody's son. You've got a secret ambition there. The wicked and his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. That's you. God is not in all his thoughts. That's you. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. In other words, nobody's going to take this away from me. For I shall never be in adversity. You think you'll never get caught. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. But I'll tell you what, David wrote this, and David knew exactly what that heart was like because he had one. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Guess who that puts you in the league of? The roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He lieth, by the way, you sit and feed your mind on pornography, you're going to go after somebody before too long. It will happen. You'll be just like a lion waiting. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That's what you convince yourself of. God will never see it. I'm getting away with it. It'll be okay. I can keep doing what I'm doing and still look good at church. Don't do it. Your pastor is asking you with absolutely no knowledge. You say, but pastor, you read something here and I know you got to know something about it. I promise you I don't. I don't. So here's the deal. The Holy Ghost now, and I want you to bow your head. All right, bow your heads. Close your eyes. You're not going to raise hands today. Now, what I'm going to say, the altar is going to be open. And let's just do this. Let's just say that probably everybody in here has got some kind of little secret, all right? So that way, if you feel led to come down to the altar, don't think that, he's the only one or she's the only one. And I'm not interested in hearing what everybody's done. I don't want to know. But right now, the Holy Ghost now, Jesus himself, has got his arm around your shoulder. And he's saying to you, listen to me. Listen to me. I know what this is. I know what you're doing. I had your preacher preach on it today. He mentioned at least one thing that you're doing. And I love you very much. I know what this is going to bring to you. I know where it's headed. And I don't want to lose you as a friend. Will you repent? Will you repent? Do it now. And I'll know whether you meant it or not. Do it now. And we'll let it go. I promise you, once I forgive your sins, I don't tell anybody about them ever. If not, I'm going to bring some other people in on it. And if you won't come around, I'm going to show everybody what you've been doing. Your pastor loves you this morning. And I listen. God's already got a hold of me on this, all right? I'm preaching this because this is what God said. God knows something that I don't. And I'm going to let him have his way with you, all right? So this morning, you just pray. If you want to come down to one of these mourner's benches, you can. And we'll just confess some things to God. Okay.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.